Hello again, and we're very thankful as always to have you here on the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast. We've been trying to spend time meditating together with you on the Christian's responsibility to government, and Lord willing, this will be the last message in that series. And we've tried to consider together, why did God establish government? He established government to bear the sword. He established government for law and order, to protect us from the depravity of man, to protect us from anarchy and the danger that would be associated with people just doing every man what was right in his own eyes and coming and stealing my property and murdering me with no consequences for that. So the Lord set up government for law and order, for protection, and we have the obligation, according to the Word of God, to submit to every ordinance of man, to not rebel against that, to not speak evil of the government, not to despise government, not to be brawlers, but to submit to the government outside of the extreme circumstances where the commandments of God directly contradict the ordinances of man. And at those circumstances, we are commanded, we are obligated to obey God rather than man. So, in our concluding thoughts on this topic, the thought I'd like to leave with you is that ultimately, here in this world, we need to submit to government, we need to pay our taxes to not offend the government, and I think to a large degree that's true in other areas other than just taxes. We want to be obedient because we're told to do it, but also we want to be obedient to not offend the government. I mean, you don't want the machine of government on your bad side if you don't have to. And one of the reasons we want to avoid that, we want to pray for our leaders. Why? So we can lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Let's pay our taxes, obey the law, be obedient, and they, in turn, hopefully, will leave us alone where we can live a quiet and a peaceable life, love our families, serve in our community, and worship God according to our conscience, according to the scriptures. And it's vitally important, as we hopefully take that perspective, that we're reminded that ultimately we are citizens of heaven. We are citizens of heaven. And our ultimate allegiance, we submit to government. We don't want to offend the government, so we can not be in jail, so we can operate and make money without tax liens and avoid all of the penalties that go along with disobedience. But we also acknowledge that we ultimately submit, first and foremost, to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, not to government authorities. Okay? Because at the end of the day, the children of God are just strangers and pilgrims passing through. That's the language that is used to describe Abraham and Sarah in Hebrews chapter 11. They died in faith, not having received the promises, but seeing them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And that's what we are. We are strangers and pilgrims here on the earth. A stranger is a person who is not from this place. It's a homeland. A pilgrim is someone who is on a journey, passing through. And our ultimate homeland is not America. Our ultimate homeland is not where we reside. I'm thankful for where I've been blessed to be born at and to live at, but my citizenship, my ultimate allegiance is not to America. My first and foremost allegiance is not to the state of Mississippi. My first and foremost allegiance is not to Oktibbeha Hall County, where I currently reside. Instead, my ultimate allegiance, my real home, is heaven. Our conversation is in heaven. This is what we find here in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that word conversation literally means citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven. And I would say for the church in America, so much of this has got commingled over the years. The Lord has been so gracious to us, and I just praise and I thank Him for it, of being so kind to the church in America that we have had a First Amendment right of freedom of religion. And that has been the abnormal, almost unheard of circumstance in the history of the church. And the Lord was gracious to give us that. Unfortunately, I feel like we've squandered that. However, because of this unique environment where we have the ability of religious expression, we have laws that are generally oriented toward morality. They're generally oriented toward biblical principles. Well, I think Christians in America have commingled Christianity with patriotism, have commingled Christianity with an America first mindset. And praise God for our blessing of having what we have in America. But it is important for us to be reminded, because the day very well may come in America. And we are in America. We were very blessed for a period of time. But I think everyone agrees, every scholar, every historian now believes that we are a post-Christian nation. We are a post-Christian nation. And I would like to say, just from my personal perspective, it is somewhat of a blessing to see a little bit of a reprieve recently, with some at least slowing down of the slope of a few areas of concern. Praise the Lord for the reversal of the abortion law and overturning of Roe versus Wade. All of this critical race theory DEI stuff is really fading. All of these woke ideologies that were so popular are now fading a little bit. This idea of defund the police, they did it a few places and it turned into be a mess. By the way, that's not a surprise, right? We're following the biblical principle that God set up government for law and order. What happens when you remove law and order? The sons of men are emboldened to do wickedness and evil, right? So what happens? Crime is always going to go up when you defund the police. So we've seen that fail in a few places. So now that's fading as well. And thankfully, at least in a few areas, I think we have some people in positions that can at least stem the tide from a rapid descent, a more rapid descent. I still think we're in a downward graph, but instead of us going down at the top of a roller coaster, hopefully the descent is, at least from my perspective, maybe a little bit more gradual than it was 3 or 4 years ago. So in America, we are a post-Christian nation, but because we were in this unique state of the Lord's blessing, I think generations past had been very tempted to commingle patriotism with Christianity and commingle the church in America. And for that reason, when we hear verses like, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face," 2 Chronicles 7:14, many times that was applied in a national sense. If America will repent. Well, that's not, God's not calling America to repent. He's calling his people to repent, right? He's calling the disciples of Christ to repent. So we have this commingling of America and Christianity because of this unique blessing of religious liberty that we have been blessed with. However, it is very important in this discussion for us to realign and be reminded that our ultimate citizenship is in heaven. And our ultimate allegiance is to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. Now, we're commanded to submit to every ordinance of authority, but I think as we get closer and closer to the second coming of the Lord, things are not going to get better and better. They're going to wax worse and worse. Even men and adulterers are going to wax worse and worse. The government is going to try to restrict religious expression more than giving more liberty. And there will come a time. I'm confident. I don't know when it'll happen. But I think we saw Satan kicking the tires during the COVID debacle of how much he could get away with in restricting religious liberty. And hopefully he didn't make too much progress in that regard. But I think we see the markers. We see the avenues where Satan and the wicked henchmen that he has in spiritual wickedness in high places, and they desire to persecute and to silence the church of the Lord Jesus Christ because they are of darkness and they want to quench the light. So I do believe, whether it happens in my lifetime or a few hundred years down the road, I think as we get closer and closer to the Lord's second coming, and as we just continue on the trajectory of this world leading up to the second coming of the Lord, there will be greater restrictions on religious liberty, and there will be circumstances where we will have to make the decision, as the early church did, to obey God rather than men. And when those days inevitably come, and they probably come to lighter degrees in all of our life, they come in the workplace setting, you know, when do I choose to open my mouth and stand up for Jesus Christ, or do I just sit quietly by while people are saying things that are blasphemous, derogatory? So it happens in smaller circumstances, but we need to make sure we're obedient in the small things so we're prepared when the larger situations come. Because we will all have to make the decision in our life. And I hope the Lord would be gracious in his providence to not force that to necessarily happen in a governmental sense, that we have to be obedient to God. And if we are, we're thrown in prison. If that day comes, I pray we have boldness and commitment to obey God rather than men. However, I think we all face this choice on a daily basis. Am I going to submit to the ultimate authority of Jesus Christ? Am I going to approach my daily decisions with the understanding and with the truth that my true citizenship is in heaven and my true allegiance is to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, not ultimately to the people that I interact with on a daily basis, not ultimately to my supervisor at work? Now, be respectful to all of those, right? Just as we're respectful to government, submit to government, we need to be respectful to our supervisors at work. But if your supervisors at work tell you to do something that's directly contradictory to the Word of God, you obey God rather than man. Right? The same principle applies. So we need to just commit in our mind. We need to be resolute that we are going to obey the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords over every other authority when they contradict. And why is that the case? Why? Because our citizenship is in heaven. We are strangers and pilgrims. And there's a reason, child of God, why you don't fit in this world. There's a reason why you're a stranger. There's a reason why you don't feel comfortable when people are telling all these dirty jokes at work or at school or in the locker room or in other places. There's a reason why you feel uncomfortable, because there's something inside of you that's made for heaven. There's something that resides inside of you, Jesus Christ, the hope of glory, that makes you yearn for your true homeland. That makes you yearn to be gathered unto your people in your homeland, because you are a citizen of heaven and you are a pilgrim, just a passing through. So I hope that understanding can allow us to be more beneficial here in our walk of discipleship. You know, I've heard some people say that, well, they were so heavenly minded, they were of no earthly good. Well, respectfully, I don't think I agree with that statement. I think the more heavenly minded we are, if we're heavenly minded in the right way, not just being sentimental or saying, I can't wait to go see my family. If I am heavenly minded in the sense of my mind is continually transfixed and consumed with Jesus, well, I'll tell you, the more heavenly minded you are, the more mindful you are that your citizenship in heaven, I think you're going to be of more earthly good. I think your light is going to shine brighter. I think you're going to be more faithful, more diligent. And I would dare say the more heavenly minded you are, the more mindful you are that your citizenship is in heaven, it allows you to suffer the trivial things of this world through the right lens. You can view your affliction, regardless of the severity and the height of it, as a light affliction, right? You can view that through the lens of heaven and through the lens of your citizenship in heaven. And even if you're having to endure great trials and suffering and challenges here in this world, I can view it through the lens of it's a light affliction. Why? Because I'm just a pilgrim passing through. I'm a stranger passing through. And my ultimate homeland, my ultimate citizenship is in heaven. We're in the world, but we are not of the world. And it is vitally important that we transfix in our minds and we commit to the fact that we are going to seek the kingdom of God first and foremost, no matter what. And when it says seek the kingdom first, you know what it means? Drum roll. It means first. Absolutely first. The kingdom of God does not take a backseat to anything in your life. And if there is a situation where I am called to do something that hinders my discipleship in the kingdom of heaven, I have to be committed to make the decision to seek the kingdom of God instead of the convenience of another decision that's contradictory to that. And I'm going to choose to lay up for myself treasures in heaven, even if it means foregoing comforts and pleasures for a time here in our life. Why? Because I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm putting the kingdom of God first and foremost, and you have to be resolute in that. I'm putting the kingdom first because I'm putting the king first. I'm putting the King of Kings and Lord of Lords first, and therefore I'm putting his kingdom first, and Jesus Christ always comes first, and we have to make the decisions through that lens. Now, when you make that commitment that Jesus Christ is going to be first and foremost no matter what, then that allows you to let your light shine here in this world in the right way, right? It allows you to not be overly concerned about what people say about you, right? If people say things about you that aren't true, you know, just if it's a valid criticism, evaluate it, pray about it, and change your actions. But if it's somebody just being spiteful, just shake the dust off your feet. Why? Because I'm a pilgrim passing through, right? Just shake the dust off your feet. Don't let them ruin your day. I'm a citizen of heaven. Don't let them ruin my day. Don't let them ruin your joy in Christ. Just shake the dust off your feet and go and serve Christ in the manner that you know that you're called to. So that allows us to have a looser grip on this world, right? And not take all this stuff so seriously. Oh my goodness. We just get so enwrapped and entangled in all these little bitty things. And if we just viewed more things with a heavenly lens and viewed more things that my citizenship is in heaven and I'm just a pilgrim passing through, we would not get so just up in knots over all of these things of the world that are not that important when we think about heaven, right? Boy, I tell you, thinking about heaven just puts everything else in perspective. It really does. You know, if somebody's saying some snarky, disrespectful thing about me that's not true, I mean, I don't want to hear that more than anyone else, but you know what? What does that matter? What does that matter in regards to my citizenship in heaven? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So that gives me the right perspective to be a faithful disciple of Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, now the Apostle Paul is really speaking as a minister here, and especially as an apostle, but I think it's a beneficial thing for us to think about as well. He's speaking on behalf of the Lord, and he says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ." And he's saying, if Christ was here in front of you, he would tell you to get reconciled with him in the sense of you reconcile yourself to the fact that he's already finished the work of reconciliation and you submit to the word of reconciliation. So Paul is certainly speaking in his authority as an apostle, as an ambassador, that I'm speaking on behalf of Christ. If Christ was in front of you today, he'd tell you the same thing I would tell you. But I think that lesson can also be applied in a broader sense than just the Apostle Paul and just in a ministerial capacity. We are all ambassadors for Christ. And what's the most important distinction of an ambassador? They are citizens of another country, right? They are citizens of another country, and they are in temporary assignment in a land that is not their own. They are a pilgrim and a stranger, and they are representing their homeland in a place that is not their own. And that's who we are as children of God. We are ambassadors for Christ. Why? Because our citizenship is in heaven. And we want to be faithful and authentic and reliable ambassadors that we give an authentic representation of our homeland. The ambassadors for Christ. Our citizenship is in heaven. And when if that day comes, regardless of the severity of the degree, whether it's in the workplace, whether it's in your relationships, whether it's in interactions, or whether it's even us having to stand up to governmental authorities, and God forbid if the time comes, we have to be thrown in prison for preaching the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We obey God rather than men. Why? Because our ultimate allegiance is to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We seek the kingdom of God first and foremost, and ultimately our citizenship is in heaven. I'm not first and foremost a citizen of America. I am first and foremost a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because I am a child of the King. I am a child of the King. Praise God. Praise God. Let's seek the kingdom of God first and foremost and always obey God rather than submitting to the fear of man. I hope this series of messages considering the Christian's responsibility and perspective towards government has been beneficial for you. And we don't have the ability, as in all these, to cover things as thoroughly as we would like. But hopefully this has given you some kindling to meditate on and to put in practice in having the right perspective in your taxes and in voting and in how we interact with things we disagree with, and always to approach that from a biblical perspective and to handle ourselves in a God-honoring way. So we trust the Lord will richly bless you. And as always, we would love to have you come back with us and spend time with us in later programs for us to spend time together in the Word of God. May God bless you.